The following is a recording of the Sunday evening 6 p.m. service of Rangeville Community Church.
Well, good evening, Rangeville Church. It's really great to be here and to share with you as we continue along the journey of David's life and learning from his experiences and his example. I think tonight is quite an important topic, really, because it's really all about waiting on the Lord. Now, does anybody here actually enjoy waiting? No. And I don't think I can really change that tonight, but hopefully we can get a new perspective on waiting. We can understand the importance of it, and hopefully that will make it easier to do. Certainly in my life, as a young Christian, I think waiting was probably the first lesson God taught me, and I think probably the hardest lesson I've ever had to learn. And it's taken, 30 plus years for me to start to get a good handle on the whole idea of waiting. But I like what Evan was saying, how trustworthy God is, how good he is, and how we can commit our life to him, even if that means waiting. Now, we all wait, don't we? Life is a process of waiting. We go through the stages of life. There are things in common. We wait to, when we're little, we wait to start school. We wait to finish school. There's probably a few people here maybe wanting to get their driver's license even, or their first car. We wait to get our first job. We wait, of course, to find a life partner and marry. We wait to get a home, and on and on. There's a process of waiting, and we have those things in common. But of course, there are individual things, personal things. Like David, perhaps we have received a prophecy and we're waiting for that to unfold. Or we've been committing a prayer to God about a very personal situation. It might be a family member. It could be a physical issue that we have. It might be something to do with finances or a relationship. And waiting is not easy, is it? It's not easy to wait for the answer to those deep issues of life. So I hope tonight there's something in the message for everyone, because we all wait. We're all going to experience waiting in our lives. And certainly David had to wait, didn't he? We know that he was only a young fella when he was anointed by the prophet Samuel. I don't know how old. In my reading, people have guessed anywhere from 10 to 17. So that's a bit of a range. What we do know is that David was 30 when that prophecy came to fruition, when he was crowned king of Israel. So that's maybe 13 years, if he was 17 or longer. And much of that was a pretty tough journey for David. He wasn't living life in the luxury of a king, as we would think it. He was on the run much of that time. He was sleeping in caves. He was living in a desert where it's pretty harsh and unpleasant. He was in danger from the armies of Saul, who were hunting him down. He was in danger from the Philistine army, and at times even from his own men, he was in danger. So life wasn't easy. I do believe, though, that David had one constant in his life, that somewhere in his heart he kept within in him that place of waiting on God to fulfill the prophecy. And I believe that all of us probably have that same place. There's somewhere inside, no matter what else we're doing, there's a place of waiting in the soul. And so waiting is really important. And we can see it in the Psalms of David. I've got just a few here. It was a regular theme. So, for example, Psalm 5, David would commit his prayers to God in the morning and then wait expectantly for God's answer. In fact, he waited all day long, Psalm 25. So there was always that place of waiting within David. And he recognized that waiting isn't easy. It wasn't easy for him. So his exhortation to us through the Psalms is to be strong, to take courage, and to wait on God. Waiting, of course, takes patience. And so some of the Psalms of David had that theme. He waited patiently for God to answer his prayers, to fulfill his word. So that was really an important theme of Psalms. And of course, like us, David had his bad days, his hard times. And in Psalm 69, he expressed maybe what some of us have felt, maybe even some tonight. He was really tired of calling out to God for about his situation. He lost his voice doing it, and his eyes grew tired looking for God's answer. So it was really hard, and he expressed that. The prophet Habakkuk, he got to the point of being, I guess, a little bit impatient with God, and he expressed that it was almost as if God wasn't even listening to him. And so waiting is a difficult process for us all. But there's something profound about it, because the Apostle Paul tells us that it's not just us who waits. Everything in creation, all of God's good creation, is in a state of waiting. Now, it actually says it's for the sons of God to be revealed, and I guess that's talking about our redemption, our new glorified bodies at the resurrection. And so all creation is waiting with us for that. And of course, waiting builds patience, and patience is a quality God wants in us all. No wonder he gets us to wait, because he wants us to build patience. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight I'd like to share with you three main points from David's life. And they've given me encouragement. I hope that they give you encouragement too. I think three is probably a good number, although I may have some sub-points within those points. But the first one here, waiting draws us near to God, builds trust. And for me, I think perhaps that's the key lesson of waiting that I've learnt over 30 plus years. It's taught me to trust God. And I think it actually adds meaning to life as well. And I'll talk about that briefly in a moment. But certainly for David, we know he had a passion for God's presence, and he earnestly sought God. His desire for God was like a dying man in a desert thirsting for water. And he had a really special two-way relationship. He sought God, and God searched him and knew him. So there was a really an intimate two-way relationship. And I get the feeling that as David waited on God, for example, he'd get up early and he'd sit up late at night, probably looking up at the stars, because he was in the desert. Imagine the stars were pretty bright. It was almost as if, to me, he was tapping into like the music of creation, that he could sense that all creation had a song of worship to the Creator. And so in Psalm 19, we see, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech." They have a message for us. And David found meaning in that, that within all of creation, the whole purpose was to glorify God. And that was his ultimate meaning. His desire was to praise the Lord, Psalm 103, with all his heart. So David found meaning and purpose in the waiting. And I believe that we do also. And to make that point, by way of a contrast, and I might be stretching the scriptures a little bit, but if we look at David's son, Solomon. Now, Solomon had a close research of the earth, of God's creation. He was a very intelligent guy. And, you know, he studied the water cycle. The water evaporates from the ocean into clouds. The clouds blow over the land. They rain onto the streams. The streams go back into the sea. And so from Solomon's perspective, there was this endless cycle. And to him, it was meaningless. Solomon really struggled to find meaning in creation. How different from David, one generation to the next. What was so different about Solomon? Probably many things. But one thing I think is telling from Ecclesiastes. Now, Solomon was a rich guy, wasn't he? Probably maybe the richest man who's ever lived. And Solomon knew what he wanted, and he got what he wanted when he wanted it. Solomon didn't know much about waiting, did he? He denied himself no pleasure And in that process, life lost its joy for Solomon. Life lost its meaning. And so even though waiting is hard for us, we still have meaning in life. We still experience joy. And the alternative, I think, is probably much worse. Would you like to be like Solomon and find no pleasure in life, find no meaning, find no joy? So I do believe that there really is an important purpose in waiting. It gives us meaning. And of course, it does remind us that God is in control, as we've heard tonight. God knows the times and the seasons and the dates. He sets them by his own authority. And so waiting reminds us that we're not in charge. Now, there were some circumstances in David's life where he could have fast-tracked his journey to the throne. I mean, he had his opportunities. And on a few occasions, the voices in David's head, the voices from outside, were saying, this is from God. This is his opportunity for you to fulfill the prophecies about you. Listen to those words. This is your opportunity to fulfill. Does God really need our help to fulfill his word to us? He doesn't really. And thankfully, David discerned that. I believe by spending time waiting in God's presence, David had that inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And so he was able to listen to that voice within him that was saying, no, this is not the way. And so the first example there on the screen, and David and his men were hiding in the cave, as they did back then. And Saul, the king who was trying to kill David, came into the cave on his own, no protection. And of course, Saul's men were saying to David, this is your chance. Kill him and you've got a path to the throne. But David wouldn't do that. On another occasion, David, quite bravely, I think, actually crept into the camps of the king Saul with all his soldiers around him sleeping at night. And he took with him a trusted general called, I think it's pronounced Abishai, maybe it's Abishai, but Abishai was there when they found Saul. They took his spear and some things, but Abishai wanted to put the spear through Saul. And again he said to David, God has done this. He's put your enemy into your hands. This is God's doing. But again, no. David had the discernment, the inner witness, to know that this wasn't the way. God had given him the word and God would fulfill it. So we need to be careful. I think I mentioned this last time I spoke, that an inheritance claimed too quickly will not be blessed at the end. It's a little bit like, I guess, plucking a bud of a rose and then wondering why it never blooms, wondering why there's never perfume. If we snatch at blessing and try to do it in our own strength, we can spoil the blessing. And we don't want that. It doesn't take much courage to be impatient. It doesn't take much courage to snatch at blessing. But it does take strength and courage to wait. But that's the exhortation from David. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take courage, and wait for the Lord. And of course, God is not passive. Unlike what Habakkuk thought, he's not ignoring us. He's very aware of our situation. He's working in our circumstances, on the outside, of course. When he wants to move us into leadership, he's preparing the ground for that, but he's also working in us. Now, it wouldn't make much sense for God to lift us up into a place of influence and authority and favour if we weren't ready to carry that. We'd probably do more harm than good, wouldn't we, really? So God arranged the circumstances. I mean, we know ultimately there was a big battle and Saul and his sons all died, clearing the path for David. But David didn't just fill the void. He didn't just move into the capital and say, you're under new management, guys. Sorry, like it or lump it, I'm here. David actually waited to be invited. And that's an important principle of leadership, to wait to be called forth into a position of influence and authority. Don't assume that for ourselves. And David did that. The people ultimately said to David that all the tribes of Israel and the elders, the representatives of the land, said, David, we know God is with you. We know that you are his chosen ruler. And we want this also. We're in agreement with this. So we want to make a covenant with you to proclaim you king. What a joyful coronation that must have been, with the whole country in favour of their new king and everyone in support. By waiting for God's timing, David got to experience the full blessing of all that God had for him. But of course, it wasn't only outside that God was working, was it? He was working on the inside. And I like this little quote. Waiting is the process of becoming what or who God wants us to be. Because of course, he needs to work in here, doesn't he? He needs to build character so that we're able to carry that place of authority and influence. He wants us to have perseverance. And gradually, he raises our influence and the favour that we walk in. And that's a process that David went through. You know, when David fled from King Saul, he certainly had experience as a soldier, and he knew what it was to command soldiers, so he had some authority. But God wanted more. God was looking and is looking for shepherds of his people. He wants shepherds to look after his people, and he wanted that in David. So when David fled, all these people gathered to him, not just soldiers, but their families. Those in distress, the disenfranchised, were all gathering around David. And actually reminds me a bit of Jesus in the book of Matthew. It says that when Jesus saw all the crowds coming and he saw that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, he had compassion on them. Now God's heart, Jesus' heart, is for his people to have a good shepherd. And that's what God was raising David to be. He wanted David to be a good shepherd. Of course, David was also a leader of men, wasn't he? Later in the stories of King David, we hear about his mighty men who did these great exploits and who were fiercely loyal to him. So David had a quality that made leaders want to follow him. The story I told of Abishai, the general. Now, David could have just said to him, listen, Abishai, I've got a job for you. Okay, it's a pretty dangerous one, so choose some of your best officers, sneak into Saul's camp, fetch me his spear and his jug, because that would be really important to me. It would make me look good to Saul. And of course, he didn't do that, did he? He said, I'm doing this. I'm going to put my life on the line. I'm not going to ask my men to do something I wouldn't do. I'm going to lead by example. And who wouldn't want to follow a guy like that? Now, it still took a lot of courage, but that's Abishai obviously had a lot of courage, and he followed David's example. And there is another story that I really like about King David. During one situation, he obviously was very thirsty. I suppose when you're living in the desert, you get pretty thirsty. And he expressed a desire for some water from a particular well. I think it was near where he grew up in Bethlehem. And David was it the great-grandson of Boaz and Ruth, I think. And so he grew up in the area of Bethlehem. So these guys heard him say that. And so they broke through enemy lines at the risk of their own lives, got water from this well and brought it back to David, assuming, I guess, that he'd be very, very grateful and he'd drink it. But that's not what David did. He recognized that this was more than just water. He was holding in his hands literally the lives of his men. And he wasn't going to just take that as to meet his own needs. He poured it out as an offering to God. He showed his men that they were much more valuable to him than just meeting his own needs. So who wouldn't want to follow a guy like David? He put his men first. He honoured them, and he wouldn't ask them to do anything he wasn't willing to do himself. He was a really special leader, and obviously he learnt this on the journey. He was courageous. I think he was, in my impressions, fearless. He was quick to the fight, wasn't he? And I've met some people like that. And if they have a fault, often to me it's that they can also be a little quick to get angry. They can have temper issues, and I believe that David probably did also. Because there's a story from, I guess, his earlier days when he was out in the desert with his men, his soldiers, and into his area came shepherds with flocks. I imagine there was quite a few with a lot of flocks because they belonged to a really rich guy called Nabal. And I imagine David had a heart for shepherds, having been a shepherd. So he said to his men, listen, protect these guys, watch over them, don't take anything, stand guard over them, be a shield to them. And they did. Now time came when it was time for one of those feasts that God had ordained, and David didn't have much. So he sent a delegation to Nabal and said to him, look, we've been honouring you. We've been watching over you and we haven't taken anything. Will you now honour us? What did Nabal say? He was obviously not a very wise guy. He just basically said, get lost. And in the process, he insulted David. Now, the book of Proverbs says that a prudent man overlooks an insult. But I'm thinking at this stage in David's walk, he wasn't that prudent yet. Because what was David's response? He said to his men, every man strap on your sword. And we're told David strapped on his. He was out for vengeance. And if my reading of the last part, verse 22 of 1 Samuel 25 is correct, I don't think David was planning to leave a man alive that belonged to this guy. And he was pretty rich. He probably had a lot of servants. David was planning to spill a lot of innocent blood because his pride had been hurt. And that's a big issue, isn't it? God does not want a quick temper in his leaders, in his shepherds. He wants leaders to be slow to anger and quick to forgive. And so God needed to get that through to David. He needed to make that clear. Now, thankfully, one of the servants went and told the wife of Nabal. Her name was Abigail, and she was pretty wise, and she probably had some perception about David and his personality because she realized they were in huge danger. So she got together all this produce and she intercepted David on his way to take vengeance. And she said to him, look, David, don't do this. Essentially, she said to him, look, I know that you have the favor of God and he will establish your house. He'll do everything he's promised you. You don't want this innocent blood on your hands. Why mar the blessing? Why let your pride and your anger and your impulsiveness cause you to sin? And I really believe that that had a profound impact on David. I believe God set up the circumstance exactly for that reason, to get that through to him. He had lots of good qualities, but this was an important flaw that God was wanting to deal with. And I don't know what you think, but in my reading of David's life, he had his faults, of course, but I don't think a really quick temper was a characteristic of his life down the track. So this must have really had a big impact on him. Clearly, by the time he was crowned king, he wasn't the same person as that young boy who was anointed by the prophet Samuel. He'd gone through a lot. God had arranged the circumstances, but God had also prepared him. And of course, that's what he's doing in us during our waiting. And so the exhortation I have is that we wait on the Lord. It's really critical that we wait on the Lord. And as we've seen, it draws us near to him. And of course, it builds trust. That's perhaps been the key thing for me. But it also gives our life meaning. I think if we weren't waiting, life wouldn't have the same level of meaning. It reminds us, of course, that God's in control, that he knows the times and the seasons, and his knowledge is perfect. And of course, in the background, God is working. He's creating the external circumstances and the people. He's working among the people, just like he did with the people of Israel. And he's also working inside of us. And he knows that it's hard. And so I take great comfort from Isaiah 40, where God says that I understand it's hard, but if you wait on me, I will renew your strength. I'll reinvigorate you. I'll refresh you. And I'll give you a new perspective. I'll lift you up above those circumstances. And I've got a race for you to run. It's difficult and it's individual. We all have our own race. But God's promise is that he'll give us the strength, that we can run the race and finish the race strong and not fail and not grow weary and not give up. But it's critical that we wait on him. And one final little anecdote or story from the Bible. There was a guy in the Bible in the Old Testament called Caleb. And he was a pretty amazing guy. He was a leader under Moses when God rescued Israel out of Egypt. And he had such confidence in God that he was ready to go into the promised land and take his inheritance. But there was a problem. The rest of Israel didn't have the same confidence and they sinned. And as punishment, God said, sorry, but you're going to have to wait 40 years. So literally, poor old Caleb spent 40 years wandering around the desert, twiddling his thumbs, until God said to Joshua, okay, now's time. Go in and take the land. And Caleb came to Joshua and he said, Joshua, it's been 40 years, but I'm as strong today. I'm as vigorous today. I'm as keen today. I'm as enthusiastic today. My faith hasn't waned at all. So give me a challenge. I want you to give me as an inheritance this mountainous area with giants in it because I'm ready. And so you can see that God was able to sustain and renew Caleb's strength even across 40 years. Now, I don't know how long we've all been waiting. It would be different lengths of time, but God is able to sustain us through the wait and is able to renew our strength and allow us to run that race. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the lessons that we learn from the life of David. They hold so much richness for us. And although waiting is never easy, it's important that we do it. And we can do it with a good attitude. But I do pray especially tonight for those who are really struggling in this area. They've been waiting for a long time and they're really tired. And I pray, Father, that you would renew their strength and give them a new perspective and that you would enable them to run the race you've called them to run, no matter how long it is, and not grow weary. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.